It's good to see all of you this morning. We do have visitors, and we want you to know that you are our honored guest. I encourage you to come back at every opportunity that you have to visit with us here at Eastside. If you have any questions about the lesson or anything else that we do here, we would be glad to sit down and discuss and answer any questions you might have. The Bible talks about prophecy. And prophecy, according to Wikipedia, is a message inspired by God, a divine revelation. The Bible says that prophets spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, according to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21. So a prophet is one who receives God's message and then transmits it, as this definition says, or tells it to other people. And it's cited Acts 3 and verse 18. When we look at the Bible, it is filled with men of prophecy. We look and we read in the Old Testament, about Jeremiah, who is known as the weeping prophet. How he struggled to preach God's word about the coming doom that was going to be imposed upon the Israelites. We read about Elijah, the prophet of God, and the prophets of Baal with Ahab and Jezebel. We recently studied about him during our class on zeal that Brother Deason taught for us. We read about Ezekiel, the watchman of Israel, who prophesied again to the nation of Israel. And we read about the man Daniel in the Old Testament. And we read of his prophecies about the coming of the kingdom of God in Daniel chapter 2. The thing about these men that were prophets, their prophecies always came true. Always. And there may be times that we hear people today talk about certain things that may happen and probably will happen, and we think, well, now that it came true, so it must be, no, it's not a prophecy. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 8, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. In other words, they're going to stop. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. They're going to stop. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, talking about the Word of God, then that which is in part will be done away with. The prophecies of old. We no longer have a need for men to stand and prophesy about the future. We know what the future holds for us. It holds either an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. There's no more need for prophecy. But when you listen to certain people today and they talk about the experience of life and everything, there may be people that think we still have prophets alive today. There is an old radio personality. Now, when I say old, some of you are not going to know who I'm talking about. But I used to plan my day around listening to Paul Harvey. And he would do these things, and he was a legendary radio broadcaster, and he captivated the minds and ears of millions of people with his stories in the news. He was a broadcaster for ABC Radio. That tells you how far back it goes. He broadcast news and added comment to it. He had this thing called the rest of the story. And you heard him say it, didn't you? 24 million people a week would tune in and listen to Paul Harvey. He was on 1,200 radio stations. He was on 400 Armed Forces Network stations. He was in 300 newspapers across America. And he was known for, hello, Americans, this is Paul Harvey. And he would prelude before a commercial, this is Paul Harvey, stand by for the news. And that is the rest of the story, is how he would end a lot of his comments. Y'all remember that, don't you? He was known for saying, All of these things. Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey, and have a good day. But he's known also for two lengthy articles that he put into his radio program. One is, God created a farmer. The other one is, if I were the devil. If I were the devil. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. If I were the devil. And we're going to take his thoughts, Paul Harvey's thoughts, and try to make a sermon out of it. If I were the devil, Paul Harvey would say, I'd subvert, or if I were the prince of darkness, he says, I'd subvert the churches first. I would corrupt the churches. The devil makes every attempt to destroy the Word of God, to destroy Christianity. He says, I'd begin with a campaign of whispers, with the wisdom of a serpent. Well, he's already done that. He says, I would whisper to Eve, as I did with Eve, do as you please. Don't we have TV or tennis shoes right now that just do it? Nike? Just do it. If it feels good, do it. Well, that's what the churches are doing today. I've got a friend that lives in Mount Juliet, and they have decided that the young people need a coffee shop. The church has provided a coffee shop. It's called K-Rose. Established in 2022, K-Rose Coffee House, where coffee meets divine opportunity. The devil says, I would corrupt the church. But it doesn't stop there. The churches, he says, I would go on and corrupt the church by getting them to believe that concerts is the way to go to worship God. Which Paul says things are to be done decently in order. Now, I've been to a few concerts, and there's nothing decent and in order about those as far as the people listening. When we look at what the devil says, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, we need to understand that we live in his realm. We go all the way back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, before the flood, and it says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The devil has had a successful campaign since creation, when you step back and think about it. And we do live in his realm. I've got a note in the margin of my Bible around 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, that says, this is the devil's realm. John says, do not love the world or the things of the world. This world that we live in, this old earthly place that we live. If anyone loves the world, then he's drawing a contrast here. Loving the world versus loving the Father. He said, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, the devil's successful because this is his domain. He says in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And see, those are the three avenues of temptation that the devil's going to use. With each and every person in the church, out of the church, as a complete church, and as individuals. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. If I were the devil, I would corrupt the church. He says, if I were the devil, I would begin by talking to the youth and whisper in their ears that the Bible is just a book of myth. It's just a book of made-up stories. I would convince the young people that man created God, and instead of it being the other way around, that God created man. I would confide with the young people that what is bad is actually good, and what's good is square. Now, he uses some terminology in here that's going to date this. And we'll talk about the date at the end of it. That is an old fuddy-duddy's way of saying that the things of the world are bad. But he says, I tell the young people that they're wrong, that the things of the world are actually good. How many times are we hearing about our young people being pressured with what's called transgenderism today. School boards are being attacked because they're pushing transgenderism. Doctors and hospitals are being pushed away from transgenderism because that's what they think. A couple of Sundays ago, Channel 5 does this, I forgot what it's called, news show after. It's the national network. And I recorded it because it dealt with parents that didn't know how to deal with their son who wanted to be a girl at 6 years old. 6 years old. You know what a six-year-old boy needs to be doing? Playing in the mud. Playing with a Tonka truck. Making a gun out of a stick. I had a sister-in-law one time. I don't want my son to play with toy guns. The next thing you know, he's got a stick running around the yard going bang, 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 bang. But this is something we can't control. Life-altering decisions like transgenderism. A little boy wanted to be a girl and a girl wanted to be a boy at 6 years old. They don't know what that means. But yet the devil is telling parents all over the world today that this is what is normal. The devil says, I would tell you that anything over God is acceptable. Little League. Ain't nothing wrong with Little League, is it? There is a church in Middle Tennessee that decided to cancel their Sunday night services because so many of the young people are on what's called travel teams. Travel ball teams. And they decided, well, we've got to cancel our Sunday night services. Now, granted, they extended their morning service to 3 hours. And I don't know if some of you would like that here or not. But they've done away with it. And when the elder says, or when the member, some of the members said, well, we want to have a Bible study on Sunday night. And the elder said, no. The devil is working to corrupt churches. And the devil says any kind of sports, baseball, tennis, it could be banned. It could be golf. Anything but God. Anything instead of the church. Anything instead of God. The devil says, I would say to the old, our Father which art in Washington. He would get you to follow politics instead of following God. I want to make a personal plea to you. And this is not political. I'm not going to tell you which way to vote. But before you ever vote, you ought to pray. Pray your heart out that your decision is right. You ought to pray for everybody in politics that they're going to do what is best as far as the morality of this country. Politics is not your God. That's what the devil wants us to believe. If politics were our God, then abortion would be legal across the board. There'd be no questions about it. The Supreme Court would not have told the states a few years ago that the LGBT movement and gay marriage would be acceptable, and every state would have to accept gay marriage. You know why we had that? Because the devil whispered in someone's ear. If I were the devil, that's what I would do. Paul Harvey says, if I were the devil, I would get organized. I'd educate authors that write books and TV shows and movies and things on how to make literature that's pornographic, exciting, lurid, and then sell it as morally good. I watched a video the other day of a man that he was a pastor somewhere, and he went to a school board meeting, and the school board had condoned a book to be set up in the public in the school library. Well, this pastor got a hold of it, and he says, I want to read this book to you. And he read some of the pages out of the book, showed him some of the pictures, which were obscene. And the devil says, it's working. But the school board shut him down. They cut his mic off because he was reading a book that was pornographic, basically. And they said, that's enough, that's enough. He says, why? That's what you're telling the kids it's okay to listen to and to read. We don't want to hear it. But it's okay for your children to listen to it and to read it. I'd educate the authors to make literature more exciting, so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. Listen to music lyrics and tell me that. Stop at a red light here in town and have one of these cars that's turned into a boombox and listen to some of the words. Sometimes it's enough to make you want to run a red light just to get away from it. With the vulgarity. He says, I would threaten TV to make dirtier movies and vice versa. Fewer, cleaner movies. He says, I would have families at war with themselves. I would have churches at war with themselves. You ever seen a church divided? You ever seen a family split over the Bible and the teachings of the Bible? You know what the devil says? I'm winning. It's working. He says, I'd do this, I'd have nations at war with themselves. And I mean, you look at our nation right now, and it's split over morality of all things. He says, I would do this until it turned and consumed everything. And I would promise the authors and TV writers higher ratings. Because that's what sells books. That's what puts money in their pocket. Toward the end of Paul Harvey's little story, he says, within a decade, this is where he begins to prophesy. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. And soon I could even kick God out of the courthouse. Well, that's happened, hadn't it? You remember a few years ago in Alabama where they removed in God the Ten Commandments from the courthouse? They have pushed for having In God We Trust removed from our currency. Then I'd go to the schoolhouse and have God removed from that. How many of your children today and grandchildren, and some of you even work in the school system, how many of you hear a child or a teenager being brought to the principal's office to say a prayer at the beginning of the school day? How many of you hear a scripture being read at the beginning of the school day? I remember those days. I used to be involved in those days. But the devil says, no, you can't do that. There was a man in California several years ago that began a campaign all by himself. And he got tied in with what's called the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union. And they pushed and they pushed and they pushed until now there's not a school in the United States, pretty much, that says the pledge. They don't say a prayer, and they don't read scripture. Do you realize that when this country was founded, one of the primary books that was taught from was God's Word? And how far we've come. And the devil says, it's working. I'm whispering in ears, and people are listening. Paul Harvey was right. Then I'd move from the schoolhouse to the Congress, the devil would say. The devil says, within a decade, I would substitute psychology for religion. And I would deify science. Y'all know what the new religion is, don't you, for the last few years, several years? The climate. The climate. They worship the climate. Global warming. I know that's been going on for a long time before Al Gore ever became vice president, but it's been made a religion. Global warming. He says, I would lure priests and pastors into abusing and misusing boys and girls and even the church's money. If I were the devil, I'd make symbols of Easter eggs. I would make the symbol of Christmas to be a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who won't until I had killed the very incentive for anyone to be ambitious. And then what do you bet? I could get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. What do you have in the grocery stores now? In the Quick Marts? Tennessee has a lot. You know, first, before Tennessee ever had the lottery, I thought it was an oddity to go to Kentucky and see down the front of these grocery stores and whatnot, lottery machines where you could buy the card. I thought, that's ridiculous. And then you come home and a few years later, we got it. If I were the devil, look what I can get you to do. If I were the devil, I would caution against extremes and hard work and against patriotism. I would caution you against moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage, well, that's old-fashioned. Just live together. It's better for your taxes if you just live together. That what you see on TV is the way things ought to be, the devil would say. And the devil would tell you that it's okay to go out in public and undress. To go to the beach with as little on as possible. And I could lure you into bed with diseases that have no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep doing what I'm doing. What he's been doing all along since he spoke to Eve. Do as you please. Paul Harvey wrote this and spoke this on his radio program 58 years ago in 1965. It's not prophecy. But what I see that it is history repeating itself. We need to take a stand against things that are what the devil would have us to do. The devil is going to corrupt everything in your life if you will let him. He's going to corrupt you. He's going to corrupt your family. He's going to corrupt the church. If I were the devil, if the devil is allowed to get his way, have his way, it's going to be because we do nothing. We need to study the Word of God. We need to be as the psalmist said, we need to meditate on it day and night. We need to be praying to God every opportunity that we have that the devil doesn't get his way. We need to be praying that God will lead us, will guide us, will strengthen us in our lives and in our service. It may be that you're here today. And it may be that you've allowed the devil to corrupt you, to influence you to some degree, any degree. And this is an opportunity for you to make your life right. To cast the devil aside. Not let the devil have any influence over you at all. And all you have to do is make up your mind that you're going to change and make your way to the front here in just a moment. It may be that you're here and you've never put Christ on in baptism, but you can see the strength that you have by being a child of God. This is an opportunity for you as well. to put Christ on in baptism, and to have the blessings that come from being a Christian. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, I pray that you'll make